They can't do this! This cannot be happening!
Christy watched, trying to hide her elation. Howard was in a very fragile state emotionally.
Status report. All four initial spy cams destroyed. Three before reaching target area. No footage of any import salvageable from digifiles returned.
Wait. Three? What about the fourth?
There was a pause. Christy could almost hear Hamill, that part of him that was still human to any degree and wished to be released, struggling with the information. Omission was one thing. He had been asked a direct question.
The fourth spy cam did attain target area after initial damage. From the information gathered, we can deduce that it was hit by a high-caliber shell, but the casing was only partially punctured. Damage to the internal circuits and eventual destruction was caused by fragments of the lens that broke away and flew into the mechanism.
So did it gather any intel that is of any use? Don't tell me the useless details. Okay, so I've lost four spy cams, but what did one of them tell me?
The images and sounds are a trifle confused. I think it would be fair to say that the cam was recording sound and images at only 30% capacity.
You have the ability to take those images and clean them as much as is possible. Digi-enhancement is a minor function. Take them, clean them, slow them down so that we can analyze them. Well?
They are severely damaged images, Howard. It may take a while.
The hell it will! You could do that in the time it took you to say it! Priority red on this. All systems switch.
Very well.
Almost immediately, images began to appear on the largest monitor screen. Christy could tell from the speed at which this occurred that Hamill had pushed the waiting and omission tactic as far as he could. Meanwhile, the few seconds of recorded image, processed and cleaned, looped and played slow, unfolded endlessly in front of her. Four people stood on top of the dune, taking shots. That part was clear. She could see Ryan, JB, Mildred, and Jack. Three of them had to have shot clean and clear. But before the digital image started to break for the first time, the center of the frame moved. The camera veered erratically, the image breaking up intermittently. But it was clear enough for her to see that it took them over the ridge. She saw Ryan start to turn onto his back, bringing the rifle with him. In the corners of the frame, she saw other shapes, other people. She thought she saw Doc, and then the static washed over the screen, the image breaking finally before resolving itself once more into the beginning of the sequence.
Sid, take the last few moments. Start from the tenth of a second and work back until you have all the detail you can gather. I want to know more about those shapes. Those are people, equipment. I want to see what they are.
Very well, Howard.
No more than 10 seconds, but too much for Howard.
Sid, priority red! What the hell is the matter with you? This should take no time at all.
I'm sorry, Howard. There was a glitch in the program that has delayed me.
Sid, why the delay? This isn't like you at all.
We are unused to combat conditions, Howard. A simulation is not a substitute for the real thing.
Simulations are not supposed to be a substitute for combat. They are there to familiarize ourselves with procedures that can be implemented in times of emergency, such as now. So please do not use that as an excuse. We are all unused to combat. But we have to adjust.
I apologize.
Howard believed that the apology was directed at him. Christy knew that Sid was apologizing to her for what he was compelled to do. The last few moments of the digital images came up on the monitor, slowed down until it was almost a still image, barely moving. Howard studied it intently. Christy moved forward to join him, flinching as he put his hand out to her. She took it, hoping that he hadn't noticed her flinch. Women and men were gathered in two distinct groups at the corner of the distorted image. Some kind of transport was visible, though too blurred to really make out.
Who are those people? Sid, is this the best you can do?
It is. I'll take the next level of enhancement to show you.
The image changed again, larger now and less blurred, but rendered more indistinct by the pixelation of the image. It returned rapidly to its previous blurred form.
Very well, Sid. I have no complaint this time. Any intel on who or what?
Searching records. The man with the green hair is possibly one of a group who have been known to live down past the old town of Tucumcari. There have been reports of a clutch of people with aircraft of a non-offensive variety. Reports are sketchy, but it suggests they are part of a loose alliance that also includes the black man in goggles and the blonde woman. They come from a faction that reports have tagged as more belligerent, but there is little on any of them other than the occasional piece of radio transmission and some security transmissions picked up on shortwave from former military bases. They appear to keep themselves apart from the general populace.
Sid, is there any record of their having an association with Ryan Cawdor?
No, Howard. There was nothing in records about an alliance with Cawdor, nor any indication that they have ever crossed paths before.
Christie smiled inwardly. Of course they had never encountered Ryan. They had barely encountered the others. It was only Christie who was really known to them. If Howard had asked that question in any other, less specific fashion, then Sid would have had to... But it didn't matter.
Stormgirl, have you ever encountered these people?
I have no idea who they are. I've never seen anyone like that before.
Where did they come from? More to the point, why?
Christie pointed to one of the smaller transports that she knew to be a parasail. She had flown in one when they had attacked the heavily armed train Magog, flown, in fact, with Corwin himself. She knew only too well what they could do in the right circumstances.
I wonder what those things are.
I'm not sure. Sid? Hamill?
There is insufficient data to compile a complete report. They appear to be something on the lines of a glider, going by the information drawn from the image and from prior reports.
Damn it, that tells us nothing. Who are these people and why are they intruding on our conflict?
Christie kept quiet. Not only did she know who they were, but she recalled that Ryan had the locket Paul Yall had given her. She knew exactly who and why. She only hoped that they weren't being as difficult as she knew they could be. If that was the case, they were more a part of the problem than a part of the solution.
I can't believe you just said that! I can't believe that you just...
You better believe it. Even the bitch queen herself can see when it's time to stand up and be counted. You can't stay apart forever, right?
I would certainly agree with that sentiment. I wonder how many others agree with friend Robert, though.
I do not. I think Brianna has made the right choice. Of course, that could be merely because it was the decision I wished her to make.
The chestnut-haired woman with him spoke.
No, it isn't just that. Sure, we want to keep ourselves to ourselves, and I still don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with wanting to come together to make a force to be reckoned with, either. Because if we don't do that, won't we come up against people like this anyway?
She voices my own arguments well, Robert. Think about it, and you'll see I haven't given any ground on our aims. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Come on, she's right. We need to be together on this.
That's enough.
Ryan Steyer managed to bring the argument to a halt. The eyes of all were on him.
Listen, you stupid bastards. I don't give a fire-blasted fuck if you want to fight with us or not. We've got ourselves, and we know we can rely on the parasailers, so that gives us some kind of numbers. If you think you're up to the threat these cold hearts may give us, then fine. If not, get the fuck out now. Makes no difference to me, but it could make a difference to whoever you're fighting next to if you don't have the balls.
Ryan could see that Robert was itching to turn on him. The guy with the t-shirt held out a hand to restrain him. Robert turned away, and his head shook, almost imperceptibly.
Whatever your decision, shit or get off the pot now, because we've got to move.
In daylight? Should we not wait and attack at night? At least it could give us time to plan.
Time is one thing we don't have, Corwin. Any planning will have to be quick. Not that we can do much except think on the run. We don't know the full extent of what they can throw at us. The land is mined, and fuck knows where the redoubt actually is in there, let alone what other weapons they might have.
Then surely darkness would aid us.
If we were attacking a regular vill, I'd agree with you. But this isn't. This is old tech shit, and I'd lay jack on them having... Shit, Doc, what is it?
Infrared. Sees in the dark. I'm sure at least some of these ladies and gentlemen have come across it in the past. Perhaps even possess it.
Doc nodded his head toward the black man.
Yeah, I can do that with these goggles. They're adjustable to light. I wear them because without them, normal daylight really screws me. And you're right. With that, daylight or dark makes no difference. They could pick us out as they wanted.
Exactly. And if I'm right, then those bastard things they sent over weren't missiles, but flying cameras of some kind. Okay, so we knocked them all out eventually, thanks to Doc. But I wouldn't argue against that last fucker having sent back some kind of intelligence before it was blasted to hell and back. And if it did, then they'll have some kind of idea of how many of us there are, and who we are, which means they can move against us.
Agreed. We should move before they have a chance to move first.
Glad you see it that way. We don't know what kind of ordnance they have, but hell, I don't know what we have right now. It's time to get it out and see who has the biggest and best.
Howard had quieted down. Christy had found herself calming him as she would a child. She had stroked his head, keeping her revulsion hidden and maintaining the facade by imagining what an enraged Howard could do to the people on the edge of the territory. She had no doubt that beyond the range of the intel equipment, Ryan and the technomads were planning an attack of some kind. She also guessed they wouldn't wait around for Howard to initiate the assault. She knew her friends and their capabilities. The technomads she knew less well, but the time that she had seen them in action had been more than enough to convince her of their abilities.
Sid? Hamill? Anything going on out there?
Howard turned to her. His face was confused.
Status within secured boundaries is normal. There is no sign of intrusion and no indication of encroachment. As far as intel and surveillance for the immediate area, there is nothing. They remain beyond the range and have shown no sign of wishing to come closer. It may, perhaps, be possible to monitor them if the remaining spy cams are launched and the flight patterns are planned so that they can fly above the range of the ordnance used. However, while this would give some intelligence, the quality of such would be compromised.
No, Hamill, I think that at this stage it would serve no purpose to risk equipment. Can you or Sid provide refreshment for us in the recreation area, please? Meantime, keep surveillance on Triple Red. Maintain at the highest level. If anything happens, let us know immediately.
Certainly, Storm Girl.
Howard would like Sid calling Christy that. It was a way of letting her know, too, that he and Hamill had understood her plans.
I didn't expect you.
Howard still looked confused, but he smiled at her.
There's nothing we can do here at the moment. While they remain out of range, there's no way of knowing what they plan to do. And if we try to gather intelligence, they'll just take it as a hostile move and shoot down the spy cams. Best thing we can do is take some downtime and rest.
Yes. Yes, I suppose you're right.
Do you have coffee?
Coffee? Oh, yes. Let me show you the recreation area. Sid, have coffee ready for us.
Very good, Howard.
Christy felt her muscles relax. She'd gotten Howard away from the controls and the possibility of doing something both drastic and foolish. It didn't solve her long-term problem, though. She still had to work out how to get the hell out, and also to ensure the destruction of the bunker. But it did mean that she had bought some time for her friends. And maybe that was all that they'd need. When Christy and Howard reached the recreation area, the robot workers were still present, depositing the coffee that they had prepared in the kitchens. They looked like automatons, and would not have stirred any feeling in her if she hadn't heard Sid's story. Instead, all she could think about was how these scuttling cans on wheels had once been living, breathing human beings. It made her sick to her stomach to contemplate this. Their jobs complete, the servants all left through specialized openings in the walls.
How is the coffee?
I'm waiting for it to cool down a bit.
Oh. I can have one of my servants make you a cooler cup if you wish.
No, it's fine.
Oh, very well. I'm glad you took me away from the control room. I'm still very new to all this. I trained, of course, but nothing prepares you for the real thing. You see, that's where you have an advantage over me. You've lived on the outside all your life. That means you've seen the dirt and you know how to deal with it. That's an invaluable skill, you know.
I know.
I want to show you something. Come with me.
He held out his hand. Christy rose from her seat and took it. Her guts were churning. So this was it, was it? Well, she'd certainly done worse things. But Howard wasn't leading her toward his room or hers, as she had expected. He led her down a long hallway, at the end of which was a metallic door, much like the door to the console room. This room, also much like the console room, was lined with computers. But on the monitors for each of these, a different kind of weapon was on display.
The ordnance chamber.
Oh my...
I knew you'd be impressed.
Impressed was not the word she would have chosen.